It's another Saturday, and here we are. Welcome to AE equals MC squared. And just for the record, because I do get a lot of requests, my alter ego, the reason we refer to my alter ego as my alter ego, we didn't have to change the monograms on the towels. I may have to put a 2 in front of the AE, because alter ego is also AE. We just run a cheap organization. Anyway, I hope you had a good week. And the topic this week, if you've seen it on my site, on my pod, it's economic politics. Are we getting what we pay for? There's always a lot to speak about what's going on in Washington and investigations and arrests that will never stop, probably for the next few years. Till they decide who's going to take over the country, and are we all going to lose our rights or put some people in jail? Who knows? We will see. We'll put a sign up here in a little bit so that when I start talking about it, it'll be easier for everybody to follow me, because I want to make sure we get this across. But we have a lot of people who are running on a Democratic side. The little sign on the desk talks about MIH. About 2 weeks ago, I introduced the thought. MIH just stands for Make It Happen. I talked about over the last few podcasts that the America that formed what we are and how we are and won wars and dealt with depressions and great recessions and whatever else is because we all paid attention to what we are as a country, what we own, what we have, as I keep trying to tell everybody. And if you do see hands in front of my face, don't worry about it. I'm not being smacked. So anyway, we're just trying to set up one of the other phones so that we're sure we're on all of the people watching and different things. You know, Instagram and Facebook and God knows what else. I'm still trying to learn the names of all of them, and they keep getting new sites, I think, every day. So one of the things, we're talking about economics, which is, as I've told everybody, my favorite science. It's all about reality, how people do things, why they do things, and what does it really mean, and who owns what, and who really has the economic power. As I've said, it's all of you. As a bloc, everybody, 300 plus million citizens in this country, some of them are too young to vote, but basically, we all own one share of America. Whether you're wealthy or poor, doesn't matter. So if you think about us as a board of directors with 300 million people, if all the billionaires, which only number in the tens of thousands, and the millionaires combined, still under 100,000, I believe, currently, we outrank them by millions. So if we all get ourselves off our duff and get over to the voting booth and we pick someone, we can always pick make a bad choice. That always happens. Don't let politics drive you. As I've said, register with some party. I don't care. The idea is registering with the party. It allows you to express your opinion when they're forming and before you get to the end and you're left with the few choices that are still on the ballot. So involve yourself. As I've said, we each have one share, no matter whether we're rich or poor, and it's worth close to $200,000 right now. That's after the national debt, after whatever's owed on anything we own. We have property and assets. So, we got a president who keeps, and I'm not going after the general stuff that we always do, but he's always talking about keeping his promises. The only promises he's generally kept now was a tax cut that didn't really benefit the average person. The vast majority, 85 to 90%, 85 to 90% of what the tax went to, trillion plus, are into the future. Because he made the tax cuts that affected the wealthy permanent, more or less, in that act. So our debt has gone up, even though he said he ran on the idea that we got to do something about the debt. We got to do something about the deficit between nations when we trade. Quickly, as an economist, let me say to you that if you're the wealthy country and you're going out and buying things from everybody else, especially when your industries try and relocate because they can make it for less and make more money off of it, you're going to have a deficit with all the poorer countries. And I don't mean poor countries. It could be Europe, it could be Mexico, it could be Canada. Generally, if you're running a deficit, that means that they are dependent upon your business. And we can afford the deficit, okay? They're not taking advantage of us. We are either buying things we'd like to get because the world is shrunk and we can order things that maybe we don't have here. Italian marble in the old days. But no, we've had the wealthy people and the CEOs and everybody else offshore a lot of our operations, and if not the operation, the profits. So there, when you hear about repatriating profits and stuff, that's the stuff they didn't keep in the country because they wanted to have the money and pay no taxes on it. As I've said before, we've got a president who talks about everybody paying their fair share. He goes over and insults all our allies for 80 years in NATO, insults the UN, shakes hands and writes love letters to dictators. Him and Kim have a bromance going. We understand it. Maybe he's never dated an Asian person before, so this is his opportunity. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I'm just saying, look at it any way you want. So the only things he's really kept was a tax cut that really went to the wealthy, which increased our debt, our national debt, and it will $1 trillion a year out into the future. He's done tariffs, which had he bothered to attend his basic economic classes, he would have had professors explain to him how those just get your suppliers will put that extra tax on the price, or it will be on the tax on the price because we're charging the tariff when the stuff we're getting from them comes here. So who's paying the tax? It's just like the wall in Mexico. He was going to build that wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. Even if he tries to now tell us that the new agreement that hasn't been finally approved by Congress and everybody else between us and Mexico, again, those tariffs are going to go on the goods that we're buying. We're going to pay the bill. So no matter what the heck he said about Mexico paying for it and everything else, let me tell you, he should know better. We pay for it. So every time he tells you he's going to do this, do that, I am just waiting. If he shuts down the border, on our southern border, because we got these two caravans coming up to get away from people who are killing their kids and everything else. We built this country on immigration, period. We actually lack enough immigrants to keep our population, our working population, at least at a decent level, because we have people who die, we have people who are being born, but we need enough to keep the growth, because he tells you he wants heavy growth in our economy. And if you've got low unemployment, where are you going to get the people from? None of this makes sense if you study basic economics, okay? So, as I said, we're living through a guy who's learning economics on our dime, and it's a lot more than a dime. So he did the tax cut, which didn't help the majority of Americans. We're talking almost 90% of us. Very little help. Then his Mexico wall, because he has to keep his promises. Mexico's going to pay for it anyway. I just explained to you, when Mexico, under even his new plan, sells us stuff, we're going to pay the tariffs. So guess who pays the bill? So when he talks about these deficits between countries, just laugh a little bit and pay no attention to him, because that's not the way to do it. We can have a whole discussion on ways you can deal with economics with other countries after you've built them up. We built China to where they are now, and they're using the money to buy properties and assets in other parts of the world and exclude us in some cases. So, his tax cuts, we've talked about what that did. Greater trade deficits, I just explained that to you. This is basic economics. Then over $1 billion a month right now is the additional cost that we have because of his tariffs, and we have farmers and other manufacturing that are not selling their products. Soybeans and the rest of it. Let me tell you, one of the easy places to point to is Brazil. Brazil, as maybe not being what we like to think of as a modern big country, even though they are, they're a mix. They've got a lot of rural areas and the rest. But Brazil couple of decades ago started recognizing that they could either pay a lot for oil or do some other things, well, they started to go to alternative energy because they grow tons of soybeans and other things that they can make these other fuels out of. So Brazil has been way ahead of us with using alternative fuels. So when we put tariffs on our soybeans that our farmers need to sell to make the profit to stay in business, guess what? China and the rest of it, or anybody else who needs those soybeans, go to Brazil. They have a lot of area to grow some extra soybeans. To them, it's not a big deal. And in fact, if you owned a soybean farm in Brazil and you were getting 10 cents a pound, but now America's put this big extra tariff on the soybeans you could buy from them, what do? You're not stupid. You order your soybeans from Brazil. And Brazil may put some of the soybeans out of their economy over to yours because they make more money coming into their government. Hey, doesn't take a genius to figure this out. So he can rant and rave all he wants. He's doing nothing that makes sense. So let's get back to the election. Forgetting the Mueller investigation, the rest of it, and that's important. We're going to see it eventually. I've got a crazy guess in the back of my head. In a month or so, I'll be able to tell you if I think it happened, and it would be the most interesting thing. It's like Mission Impossible, where you never know who you're really looking at because they're wearing a face mask, and maybe it's the opposition you're really dealing with. We're looking at all these candidates, and we have some major candidates, of course, on the Democratic side. The Republicans are, we can simplify that, that there are Republicans who would love to jump in and challenge Donald, but they know he's going to say, do you really want them? I'm so great. Look at what I've done for you. He keeps telling you it's great. You let me know when you can see the great, other than him saying so. Again, the Democrats have a whole field of people. And they're all experienced and have background and the rest of it. Bernie and Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have actually put out tax plans. Some of the others have talked about it. And by the way, the majority of the Democratic candidates have background. Some of them, even some of the younger ones, like Pete, the guy who was the mayor of, I believe it was St. Louis or somewhere in Indiana, very bright guy. He's a scholar. If you want to talk of top schools compared to Donald going to Wharton, which his father may have paid to get him into, the bottom line, it wasn't his academics that got him in there. If you look at this guy, Pete, he went to these two little schools, one called Oxford, one called Cambridge. You don't get in there by accident, okay? He's a very bright guy. Yes, he's gay. He admits it. He's not hiding it. Again, we believe in equal rights in this country. Takes us a lot of time. We took time for women to get their vote. Took time for people of color to be recognized as a person and get all the rights that they should have always had based on our Constitution. So now we look at Bernie. Bernie, who usually considers himself an independent, but he's not an idiot. He knows, just like Donald did. When Donald decided to run, he was mainly registered as a Democrat most of his life. But as he said in one of his campaign speeches, he says, I gave to both parties. By contributing, I had access. So Donald believes in using your money to gain what you want. Forget what everybody needs. He ran as a Republican because he felt he would be able to easily deal with that crowd, take over and run. Bernie runs as a Democrat the last time. Now, he's not a stupid man. He keeps repeating his social things, and people get hung up on terms. There is no country that is purely socialistic. There is no country that's purely communistic. And if it is, it may have a dictator who kills people who don't listen, but they try and sneak out. The tightest borders to get out of are generally countries like North Korea. So he can have a bromance with a dictator all he wants. Forget the terms. You want to know what people are doing. Everybody use words to describe. So when it comes to tax plans that would affect us, everybody has understood that we've been screwed over with the tax cut that this president put in. So now we have, and finally, as I said, I am happy that my country got out. I don't care who they voted for, but over 100 million people came out for what they call interim elections. We elect the whole House of Representatives every 2 years. It's important. We should all vote every election. Bernie is coming up with his tax plan, and it's kind of cool. His is a 77% estate tax. Now, let me remind you that part of what Donald put through with his taxes was to cut the high estate tax, and that only really affects, again, possibly no more than 100,000 people at the level they did it, out of 300 million. So you think about who that's for. They said if Donald would bother to pay taxes, it might save his family $1.5 billion passing stuff around, but his father taught him how to do it where other people pay the bill and you pay nothing. Bernie's 77% is an estate tax. An estate tax means that if you're the Koch brothers, if you're the Walmart family, the Walton family from Sam Walton, if one of you dies, you're going to pay that estate tax if they get it in. So if we wait for that money to buy lunch, we're going to die of hunger. Okay? So Bernie's got some good ideas, but it's less controversial with the other people who might argue with them if you put in a heavy-duty estate tax, and it's not as heavy as it's been in the past. We can go back into history someday. We've had estate taxes and trust taxes and even income taxes. The first generally recognized income tax in the U.S. was just after the Civil War as part of Reconstruction. It disappeared, then in the 1890s, another one. Everybody thinks the income tax started in 1913. That's the current income tax, okay? It's our country, we got to pay for it. What I constantly want you to understand is, it's our country, we own it. Let's us decide how it's used, not people who take the money from us when we buy things and then use it to make sure they keep control, okay? It's not socialism. That's not communism. This is free enterprise. Build a business. Do it. But let's get together on what makes sense. One of the things I've talked to people about the majority of my life, in every state, now every one of our states, as I've mentioned way back in my podcast, is a separate juridical system. Every governor of a given state, let's say they're all called governors for the moment, is really the head of that country, whether it's New Jersey, New York. Europe followed us and changed to that European Economic Community. We started with 13 colonies, as we said. Now we've got 50 states, as we call it. Puerto Rico may finally decide to vote for statehood because they keep getting shortchanged when it comes to things. They didn't want it. They're on an old American tax code, because they're, for over 100 years, they're citizens of our country. But they may realize that they could get their proper treatment by becoming a state. Anyway, so we look at Bernie. His big tax deal is a 77% estate tax. They could pass the law today. You might not collect a penny till some of these very wealthy people die and you can start to collect that tax. So it's not going to change things for our economy. Elizabeth Warren, her tax is basically a wealth tax, as she calls it. Now, by the way, we have had wealth taxes, because when you'll hear about this, you'll hear it's unconstitutional and a whole bunch of other things, but that's not the point. I grew up in a working-class family in Brooklyn. I understood if you can't put food on the table. And by the way, my alter ego is here today, as I said. So the other AE, I may have them break in. I'm almost done with this, and then I'll get to what I want to make everybody understand of what we can tap into. When you need to feed yourself, you want to know, where are the things I could put on the table today? So anyway, Elizabeth Warren, it's a wealth tax, 2 or 3%, depending on how wealthy you are. And hers would actually tax you on an ongoing basis. It's not super gigantic when you figure it out. It is to the people who have the money that they've been hoarding and gathering. But we've had wealth taxes historically also. And no matter what you hear out there, it's constitutional. I've done enough research on it. I've run tax departments. I've dealt with different governments in different countries. So let me let my alter ego, I think a couple of people may have been writing in and things I don't always think about on the internet. So I think my alter ego has something to say.
Well, good morning. I'm so happy to be here at AE equals MC squared. since we're talking about taxes, and I'm going to digress a little bit, because I know that we are speaking about the candidates today. But I want to bring this up only because what happens during the elections, especially with the Republican Party, they will constantly try to shove down the throat of the American voter and workers that we pay the highest taxes anywhere in the world. Well, that's not true. And I'm going to give you some examples. And yes, while we may pay taxes not only to the federal government, but to our respective states, we certainly do not get the services that we have to also come out of pocket. And I'll give you some examples. In Canada, the low tax rate is 14% on salaries starting from $12,000 to $35,000. By the way, I converted the pound to dollars. In pounds, it's $9,800 to pounds. And at the highest, their tax rate is 45% if you make over 152 thousand pounds. You can do the conversion, not a very hard thing to do. You can go online and take a look at it. The minimum wage in France is $23,447 at our rate. And poverty is considered over $44,000 in France for a family of four. You know what it is in the U.S.? For a family of four, $22,000. You cannot survive on that. And you've got to pay child care. In a lot of European countries, child care is free. You get maternity leave paid, where in the U.S. you can have maternity leave, but it's unpaid. You got to take your own vacation time and make whatever you can out of it. So when you're looking at taxes, people, do not allow the candidates to try to make it seem like we're paying an exorbitant amount of money for taxes when we do pay for education, especially at the university level, where in a lot of these countries, they don't pay for that. The taxes are collected and distributed to the population. And
I
do want to say
what she's saying. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of these countries knew they wanted to grow in the global economy, and they started educating their masses so that we now have companies that are hiring their educated students instead of ours, who have great education and great debt. So it isn't just listening to the numbers. It's understanding what's in them. Back to my ego.
Absolutely. And I just want to mention these countries where college is free, not just to their citizens, but to international students. Germany, Iceland, Norway, and Finland, and that includes private schools. But I just learned something new about New York. In 2017, New York now offers free tuition for public community colleges and some of the four-year universities. So New York is making it happen, so it can be done. So while you're thinking, oh my God, my taxes are too high, you got to think about the services that you're going to get that you don't have to come out of pocket. And that's the wrong thinking here in the U.S. We are okay with cut, and then our public schools suffer. Our streets suffer. Everything is suffering because there is no money, because the population doesn't want to pay for it, but then realizes we're not getting what we need and what we should be getting. As my alter ego, I'm going to say today, stated earlier, we had a big tax cut that was given to only to the wealthy, CEOs of corporation, permanently. It's our money, by the way. We didn't get that. We've got to make up for this deficit that's taking place right now in our treasury. So I will hand this back over to our host so that he can continue his conversation.
Yeah, now what I wanted to point out to you, because of my love of economics and my degrees being in accounting, finance, tax, all that good stuff, even though science is my favorite topic, and economics is science. So now, the understanding of what happens to our money, and if they cut our taxes but charge us more for our toothpaste, we're still not having that money in our pocket. It goes somewhere. I can go back and show you that when we started having problems with the Middle East, nationalizing and forming OPEC and the rest of it, that we got tax cuts, but we could have just written a check for billions of dollars from the U.S. Treasury over to the OPEC countries, because when we got the tax cut as individuals, and lo and behold, even if it was a nice tax cut, let's say the average American that was working and earning suddenly had $1,000 extra in his pocket. Fantastic. $100 a month. The price of gas went up because OPEC knew we could afford to pay more for the gallon. So we got taxes and we were happy as a pig in shit, as the saying goes, because we had more money in our pocket. We were turning it over when we're buying gasoline. And if you trace the, follow the money, as they said, I think it was Cuba Gooding in one of the movies, but follow the money, that money that would have gone into our treasury to fund our government and our needs, the infrastructure that's crumbling and everything else, the schools that we don't always properly fund, it went into paying off the suppliers who then had more money. And again, understanding economics. If you're in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the Middle East, and you got $1 billion sitting on the sand, it's worthless because it's not buying anything. The value of money is the value of it being employed and earning something or owning something. So, interestingly enough, when they were taking billions per month into trillions per year out of this country, they couldn't buy things in their own country. There were more dollars than they could spend. So they came back here and they started to buy companies, open businesses. The only place that could absorb the dollars they were extracting from America was back into America. And this happened before OPEC. It happened after World War II when we occupied Japan and got rid of the empire and put them into a more modern democracy. As their electronic companies grew in the old days of transistor radios and little calculators, way before the internet, way before cell phones, as they built up, they're very industrious people. If you look at the history of that island, you'll understand it. So they went out, they educated, they got smart, they built up their industries, and they started selling us these little cars, saying we're wasting gas instead of the old American cars that were gas guzzlers. Just go through it. But the idea is, what happened to the money? So as the Japanese started getting more money and building their corporations after World War II, okay, they started reinvesting those funds here in America. Nobody else could absorb the money they were taking out of here. So we have firms and the rest of it, and I used to joke with everybody, but it wasn't a joke. I said, listen, as an economist, I will tell you, I hope everybody who takes money out of our country has to come back and invest it here. Think about it. What are they going to do? Take over the country? Deport us to their country? Who's going to buy their goods? Okay? You get politicians who say, oh, we don't have to do it by politics. The market will determine it. When they say the market, they're loosely talking about the corporations, the big businesses, the wealthy families. I hate to tell you, the market in economic terms are us, the people. As I've said, in our $20+ trillion a year economy, some of it's turnover between year to year, but we, the people, the 90 some odd percent of us, we spend $14 trillion a year out of whatever we're bringing home. That is the financial power we have. Let me let my alter ego say something, but I'm going to tell you that I like Bernie's got his cute plan that won't mean anything till people die. Elizabeth has her plan of taxing and bringing it in. You'll get a lot of arguments. I'm going to give you my plan as a day-to-day economist of where the money sits in our economy that we could reach out and touch now. Billions. Let my alter ego speak about something, then I'll talk about it. But look at the little chart if it's in your screen. I'll tell you what it's all about.
I think that individuals, voters, need to understand what it is they want in their communities. You cannot say, I don't want to pay for anything, but I want everything. You cannot listen to someone telling you that you're taxed more than anyone else in the world if you're not willing to do the research and find out for yourself and sit and actually do the calculations. Personally, I have never seen any of these tax cuts in my paycheck, and I don't want them, because every time a tax cut happens, the little $300 that you may get, or $400, is not enough to even cover groceries for a family for a month. And then you're back to square one. And then you pay for more things out of pocket, because the states are losing money from the federal government, which means that you're not going to pay more to register your car, to file for a simple divorce. All of these things would not be there if you weren't so eager to accept so little. The wealthy people understand that a tax cut means millions and hundreds of thousands of dollars for them. But the average working person only looks at it as, I've got $10 more. And if you're at the low rung of the pay scale, you really are not getting that much. And if you're in the middle range of the pay scale, as what happened with Donald Trump this time around, you're not getting anything. In fact, when you go to file your taxes this year and next year, you're going to be shocked at how much you may end up owing, because those deductions are no longer there. I do want to bring up one thing about childcare, because that is an issue here in the United States. Forget about the fact that you're not getting any maternity leave, really, that's mandatory that you're paid. In France, for instance, they have a childcare leave. Before the mother gives birth, she gets 16 weeks, which is 4 months. And after the mother gives birth, she gets another 10 to 13 weeks. And if you're carrying twins, they're going to give you 34 weeks. And if you're carrying triplets, you're going to get 41 weeks of paid maternity leave. By the way, same thing for the father. It's not just the mother. The mother can go, and then the father can go afterwards. What a wonderful way of allowing a parent the opportunity to get the child to a point where the child can be left with someone or alone. Here in the U.S., we give birth. 2 months later, we're back at work, and we've got these little babies that we're actually waking up early in the morning to get them to some child care place that costs a hell of a lot of money. So you got to think about the services that you want in your community, in your state, before you start talking about, oh my God, I don't want to pay taxes. It's too much. But you want a dog park, you want a senior center, you want all these things in your community. How do you think it's going to be paid for?
In true economic terms, let me just say this. Nothing is free. Period. Whoever's going to give you something has to make money so that they can live. Let's keep it that simple. So even people who donate their services and the rest of it can only do it if they've accumulated enough or they have a stream of income. So it may be free to you, but within a society, nothing's free. What my alter ego is explaining to you, that we can always go through ad nauseum, is that everything is offset someplace. So if we want these things, we don't want people just giving us a tax cut, as I talked about with oil, when the Middle East started OPEC and the rest of it, and then raise gasoline prices, which were now, most of the money was going out. So we cut our taxes, which were going into our treasury for our needs, and it was in our pocket, and we paid higher gasoline prices, that a lot of it went out of the country instead of into our treasury. So we had the shortfall. Where are the things we need? Why are our bridges crumbling? Nothing is free. What we need is to build a society that makes sense to us, as we've done over the few hundred years we've been a country. We put our nose to the grindstone, as it's called. That's why I put the MIH down there. Make it happen. I don't ask anybody to give me anything free. What I want them to give me free is the freedom to enjoy getting in my car or getting in my sneakers, walking around the streets, smelling the air, sitting in a park. The ability to enjoy life and interact with my family, my friends, and others. So freedom is a great concept. We have it more than any other place. We will lose it if we don't understand how these things are paid for and how it comes back to haunt us. So I want to point out, because of my background, how taxes work. When I say taxes, I have told everybody who's listening to me, and that includes people on the street if they're unfortunate enough to spend a few minutes listening, and they're amazed that nobody explained it to them before, how we get things and how we pay for it. So I've said before, no business pays any taxes. Well, no business that stays in business, because anybody could start a business and lose whatever they invested. But let's talk about all the functioning businesses that are out there, and there are tons of them. Every expense they have, as I've explained, goes into the cost of the goods or services that we purchase. On top of all the expenses, they layer something for profits because they can't stay in business if they can't pay themselves, be it a little doctor or grocer or Exxon, okay? So companies have to make a profit to stay in business. Otherwise, who's going to run it? They have nothing to pay for their own dinner, okay? So I just isolated certain of the taxes because any tax that a business pays goes into the price that you pay for the goods or services that they sell you. So let's just look at some taxes, because I'm going to show you where there are billions of dollars that we just have to change. And I'll explain it at the end, because everybody's used to the system as it exists, but I could tell you it changed over the years. For example, believe it or not, income taxes were not withheld from our pay way back. So you'd earn your pay. The companies did not have to take the tax out of your pay. They didn't get involved in that. The end of the year, you filled out your return. You owed the money. You had to scrape it together and say, oh, God, how do I pay this? Okay? So the government, our government, rightfully understood, and we're talking the federal level to keep it simple. It's the same thing on any level. The federal level said, oh, we had a budget of X trillion dollars. We expected to collect enough revenue to pay for it. Now, during the year, while you're operating our country, you got to turn the lights on the airports, the highways, the military bases, all the things that are in our federal budget. You got to pay your veterans and everybody else. There are expenses of running a country like running a business. So you need a flow of cash, because the power company is going to give you electricity, but you got to pay the bill when it comes in. And if you were collecting your income taxes from the population of our country at the end of the year when they file a return, you go out and borrow. So when you're borrowing billions to trillions of dollars, you're paying a lot of interest. Because we are the soundest economy on the planet, that's why you don't see these spiky inflations up and down like you see in other places. Except when we get like the Great Recession, the Depression, stupid things that we allow to happen. We don't need to if we understand what's going on and control it properly. Anyway, so when you're borrowing money, you say, well, wait a minute, we could fix this. Everybody's working and then they have to figure out, where do I get the money to pay my tax after the year's over? Because they didn't think about it. They know they owe it. So they started withholding taxes, and they told business, they passed a law that said, hey, you owe these taxes, we're going to make it easier so you don't go crazy and have to borrow it or take it out of your savings or your mattress. We're going to start withholding taxes, okay? And it's changed over the years, the frequency of when the companies withhold it and when it gets turned in. But by the government collecting the taxes for that year that you're going to earn them, in that year that you're going to owe the taxes, by collecting them during the year right out of your paycheck, you don't suddenly get surprised with this big bill when you file your tax return. And the government doesn't have to go out and borrow extra trillions because they have cash coming in all the time. Oversimplification, but this is how we fund our budget to run our country, through taxes. So tax is just paying the bill for how we live and what we want. So I'm going to talk about taxes because there's a disparity that could give us billions more and cost us billions less in borrowing. No matter what Bernie's or Elizabeth's plan is, let's call this AE's plan, okay? And we got two AEs today, so I can get a yes from the other side for my alter ego. So I made this simple chart. Types of taxes, and this is just in general. Sales tax. Any company needs supplies, whether it's raw materials to manufacture, pencils for an accounting office, whatever. You need paper, you need a computer, you need a supply. At the local levels, wherever you're operating, and some companies operate throughout the country, some only in one jurisdiction, doesn't matter. Most jurisdictions charge sales taxes to get a cash flow for paying that budget. So you go out, you buy your supplies, you pay those sales taxes. So next to sales taxes, pretty straightforward, generally speaking, you pay them as a business. You have to have cash on hand so you can pay your suppliers, even if you can pay it 30 days later, whatever. It's a current cost. Then I put slash collect, because all during the year, whatever you're doing, whether you're selling goods or services, in the price of those goods or services, you've put those sales taxes. You calculate what you have to sell it for to cover all your expenses, including your sales tax. So you pay them when you buy what you need, and you charge them and collect it from your customers when you sell the goods or services. Nobody's arguing. I'm not trying to talk down. I just want to make this real clear so you follow me when we get to the last one. Next. Property taxes. We all live in different jurisdictions, and believe it or not, there have been tons of cases at the federal level, state and local, on how property taxes are charged. Are they fair? Are they this? People move into, if they can afford it, into different communities because they spend more on their schools and blah, blah, blah. And property taxes in almost every jurisdiction, and the exceptions are out there, but it just is another way of splitting the bill. Property taxes will include usually the tax for your schools at your local level. In the case here, it's at the county level. So property taxes, again, these businesses have a location. They get a property tax bill like you do, okay? And when I say you do, if you own the house you live in, okay, forget a business, you're going to get a property tax bill from some jurisdiction, and you're going to have to pay it out of your income. But we're dealing only with businesses. So the business has a piece of property and they have to pay a tax on it. So the property tax, they pay it and they collect it when they sell the goods or services to you. So in that same year, they pay it and collect it. There's a little bit that splashes over into the next year. Everything isn't sold the same year. But it's just current is the point. They're not paying these. They're expenses. They go into what we're reimbursing, so that they are current and they're not out of pocket. Now, when it comes to property taxes, there's an interesting thing that anybody who pays it. Now, by the way, anybody who lives in an apartment, okay, whether it's an apartment house, an apartment building, doesn't matter, multi-story, two-story, whatever it is, you're paying something called rent. When you're paying rent, the owner of that apartment building, let's keep it real simple, is running a business. They purchase the property, they have a building on it, and they rent you the apartment. The rent that they charge you includes all of their expenses again, because they're running a business. And that includes any property taxes that they pay on that apartment house, plus a profit so the owner can stay in business. So really, even if you're renting an apartment, you are paying property taxes built into your rent. So property taxes, the other exception, property, because the local governments who are getting this money, they want to encourage you to pay your taxes earlier. Property taxes generally assess or accrue on a given date under the law in the jurisdiction you're in. So you've got to pay it on that date. If it's late, they'll charge you some penalties or interest. But they also, if you look at a property tax bill, if you pay it early, they'll give you a discount. The reason they're giving you a discount is they know that if you give them the money earlier, they have to borrow less and spend less interest on borrowing money. So this is a good way of understanding the economics of a tax payment. So your business pays your property tax, puts it in the cost of what you're buying from them, and they collect it from you when they sell it. All current, generally in the same period. Now, just to keep it simple, because there are tons of taxes, different names, some that you wouldn't even notice, but I've dealt with them all. License or revenue taxes. Now, a lot of jurisdictions, because remember, the idea is a jurisdiction is not the federal government. They can't have a deficit. So they're going to collect license or revenue taxes on your gross receipts or a license to do business. It's a package of how they pay for your local jurisdiction that goes into the price of what you're making and gets transferred to the person who buys it. So again, they pay it and collect it generally in that same period. Before I get to the last one, because this is very important, I'm going to let my alter ego, they've got something popping.
Thank you so much. I want to have the voters focus on one thing, and this is why history and doing research, people, is very, very important. There was a time in this country that there wasn't a federal income tax per se as we see it today. The government was funded through excise taxes, tariffs, custom duties, selling of public lands, etc. Of course, we didn't have the population that we have today. But one thing that was consistent that is no longer consistent was that when taxes were imposed, as Lincoln did in 1861 to fund the Civil War, and it was at 3% at that time, and then during World War I, and which was in 1916, 17, and 18, the tax rate started at 15% in 1916, went all the way up to 77% in 1918 to help fund that war. We did the same thing in World War II. And it wasn't until 1913 with the 16th Amendment that the federal income tax became a permanent income tax. But prior to that, we had different taxes that were, you know, allocated. The rich at the top rate only paid 7% on anything over $500,000, which tells you they weren't really paying that much. Everybody else was paying a lot. But during the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, we had a tax rate of 70%. It went down in the 80s to 50.
It even got worse than that. Let me just say this. At one point, it was 90 or 95%, I believe, in the 50s. Because, again, I ran tax departments. I studied taxes extensively. So this is what happened. Let her finish talking about it. But the last one, we've got to understand. Because I'm going to show you where we have billions of dollars, and that's what we should concentrate on. Finish, please.
So it went down to 50%. And I will tell you that in 1984, when I first bought my house, for people who don't understand that high taxes doesn't mean that the world is coming apart, we were paying over 20% interest on a mortgage. And you really had to put money down on your home. And you had all the services that you needed for your communities, funding for your school, etc. And now we've gotten used to 3%, 4%, and we think that's a lot of money. And God, if we make the rich pay more money, somehow everything is going to fall apart. It will not fall apart. Actually, it will help our economy in the long run and help the rest of us.
Let's get to the most important one on my list. That's why I wanted you to understand, again, as I've said, to run a business, you put all your expenses into your product, your goods or your services, and we the people, the 98% of us, we have to buy this stuff on a regular basis, one way or another. We spend $14 trillion, but buried in that money are all these taxes on a more or less current basis. The last one is federal income tax. Now, there are state and local. We can get into that. I can trace money for you into countries. I can use the Philippines. I've been there. Marcos was a genius the way he ran his country. for a lot of things, socially, psychologically, economically. I'll be glad to point it out. I love the Philippines. I have tons of friends that I've known throughout the years. We can get that another day. It's a beautiful economy to look at and understand how what we I will refer to as a beneficent dictator. He didn't beat people or send them to gulags or other things, but he certainly knew how to use the people, keep them from having a revolution, and keep them happy enough, but still do what he wanted. Now, let's get to this last category, because we only have so much time, and I know everybody's going to question it. But no matter what the candidates are running on, I want you all to understand, because the people are starting to read more and understand more, and I've got a small following. I haven't tried to put it out on the internet. I've been hoping that my slow-growing group of people who want to listen to this will understand it, do their research, find out I'm not crazy. Tell your friends to listen. Tell your friends to understand this. Tell them to watch me. I'll be glad. Same speech if I had a million people watching me. I'm not looking to sell a product. As I said, knowledge is useless if it can't be communicated. So bear with me. The last one is federal income tax. I want to just point to that because I am a trained accountant. Like any CPA on the planet, I just didn't sit for the exam. I wasn't going to be signing anybody's financial. I worked inside the corporations. When you charge federal income taxes, what you do, it isn't that the company sends you a little bill when you buy their goods or services and says, oh, I'm adding in federal income tax. They know they owe federal income tax. There are many different ways of accounting for it. You hear about people offshoring profits, deferring it. I could explain every part of that to you. But what happens is, in a corporation, you have to account for any expense that you would bear. So let's say we think we're going to make $1 million of profit. When all the other expenses are done, you then have to say, what's the current federal income tax rate? And you say, oh, I'm going to owe X million dollars. So you build that into the price of the goods or services that you sell us. Now remember, the other ones I'm saying, when you bought or used these things, you know, either the function of where you are, your property, your sales tax, or whatever, you had to pay them and then collect them when you sold us the goods. The difference with the federal income tax, which they know they're going to owe when and if they ever decide to report their profits, because they can offshore it, there are a ton of things they could do, but they could defer it. So we, the people, pay whatever load they've put in that good or service they've sold you for their federal income tax. And according to accounting standards and the rest of it, because we do have different accounting organizations, different financial, we have the SEC, they've made corporations, when they play games with what's called off-balance sheet finance, all this fancy shit, basic English. They know they're going to owe an income tax on what they're collecting from you. So they build it into the price. Okay? So this is a heavy load on the prices. They build it in, and they sell us the goods or services. Well, they collected it, but do they pay it? They don't always pay it currently. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some small businesses that aren't deferring things. They figure out their taxes, and they charge it. But the vast majority of the money we spend in any business, and it could be a small business, I don't mean a doctor with, you know, an assistant, but once you get to 10 people or more and you're running an organization, you have yourself an accountant, he says, well, you got to account for these taxes, put it in your price, but we could defer them. And sometimes they could defer it forever. Now remember when I talked about the property tax, which is generally paid in the same period, but if you give it to them a little earlier, they'll give you a break on the rate. If you give it to them a little later, they'll charge you because they have to borrow to make up for that piece in their budget. The federal income tax, we have a big budget. They figure, okay, we're going to get so much revenue from the dollars. You'll hear even President Trump saying, well, I think we're going to grow by 3 or 6%, and we're going to obliterate the deficit because we're going to collect more taxes on all of this. Bottom line is, he's not getting that revenue because these big companies, rightfully so, look at the tax law and say, I don't have to pay that today. I can defer it till I recognize the income. Well, they recognized the income when they charged us the federal income tax when they sold you that goods or service. So in a current period, when we buy things, we pay the federal income tax. But watch, it says collect and pay. I could have put a question mark. Because they say, well, if I defer it, the taxes may go down. If I defer it long enough. So what does that mean? This is one of the biggest taxes that they collect from the American people. If they don't pay it over currently, you find out you've got a deficit in your treasury. And you see $1 trillion added to our debt. We have to pay our bills. So what do? We float more treasury notes. I'm keeping this simple, but we float more treasury notes, which is how we borrow. Everybody knows a treasury note is good. This is the safest country to invest in, blah, 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 blah. So every time we have to borrow for what we don't have enough in the treasury, we're going to pay interest. People only buy our treasury notes because they know they're going to collect interest from a good payer. And everybody tells you as the debt grows, so does the interest that we have to pay. Okay, this is the Alan Epstein plan of lowering how much we have to pay in a given fiscal period, a year, let's say, for interest or borrowing. All of this federal income tax that every business has put into the price of the goods or services in the last 15 or 20 years, a lot of it you'll see on a balance sheet as an item called deferred federal income taxes. And you'll hear about the few $1 trillion that are still offshore because then they buy it from companies they've set up. I'm a planner, tax planner. I can tell people how to do these things. But we pay the bill. What we need to do is just like withheld taxes. I understand. I got about 3 minutes left, so follow me. We pay these federal income taxes that these companies would have to put in their expenses on a current basis. They don't put it in our treasury on a current basis because they defer it. Well, I don't care if they defer the income that they're not reporting, but all we have to do, easier than what Bernie and Elizabeth or anybody else is talking about, all we have to do is say the federal income tax that you've collected, which is not your money, it's not profit, it's taxes that you're collecting for us. Let's have all the businesses turn it over quarterly, monthly, whatever, just like the taxes they withhold. Because you know what? These taxes also came out of our paychecks, out of our purchases. Why should we have to borrow extra? Because they can hold this in a separate account and pay it when they get ready. We have more expense for borrowings and interest, and this money, billions, is sitting out there. So talk to your friends, talk to anyone you know, have them look at this podcast, call me, send me emails, I don't care. Let's take these billions of dollars and just say, like with the withheld taxes, that we want it put, because they've charged us for this, it's an expense on the business. It's not an income item. But they hold on to it, make money off it. We pay more because it isn't in the treasury. We want to just change this one item so that as they're collecting it, they put it into our treasury. And we'll give them a little slip. Says, hey, you got a credit. Whenever you decide to report the income, you're not going to have to pay tax again. Here are the taxes you've turned over. New York City is the best example. They never had a local city tax way back when I was younger. Got about a minute left. So I'll make this quick. New York City put in so they could balance their budget. You can't have a deficit on a state and local level, only on the federal. So New York City put in their sales tax. Everybody started bitching and moaning, oh, this is getting too bad and blah, 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 blah. I can tell you how New York City is a tax haven. I've explained this to a lot of people in my life. But anyway, so businesses, because people are suddenly coming in and buying stuff and they got this extra tax, everybody's pissed. You're taking more money out of my pocket. We the people pay for everything, period. So what's left is